Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Bioenergy healer Michael O'Doherty has been writing recently about how we will emerge from COVID, and he joins me now. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
It's good to talk to you. You're making the point that COVID trauma will be a bigger challenge, Michael, than the disease itself.
Yeah, I suppose it does sound strange, but at the same time, you know, we are living amid the first global mass trauma event for several decades. You know, it's arguably the best, the first of its kind in sort of World War II, and likely to the first of such severity in our time. So the thing about it is that when we think of trauma, sometimes we see it as an individual thing. You know, we all experience different types of individual trauma in our lives, and how we deal with that is important in the sense that we always have our family to support, you know, our wider group of friends and whatever. But in this case, it's a global traumatic event. And I think that that's something that we need to understand, that, you know, while COVID will come and go, the changes it's made in people's lives, the trauma and what it's leaving behind, is going to be something that will absolutely have to be dealt with in a real professional way.
And how do you think that might happen, Michael? What way would you advocate that we should deal with this?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is to recognize that it's not just the sickness, that it's not just the virus. I think that's the very first thing, that we have to realize that apart from the economic, situation, that there are people out there who are struggling. I was listening to your program earlier this morning, and there was two things I picked off it, and one of them was, of course, that young lady from the Leaving Cert talking about the uncertainty.
Yes.
And, you know, then talking to the 71-year-old about the insurance and the way people are now being exploited in all of that. So there are so many different facets to this. But I think the real key to it is that leadership has to come from the very top, and services are going to have to be provided. You know, we know that there are huge increase in admissions to hospitals by young children, from attempting suicide to, for example, self-harm and so on. We know that, you know, a lot of people are under huge amount of stresses and anxieties. And I suppose the real challenge for people is that if you take the average home today, children are often looking at their parents who are stressed and anxious because they can't seem to cope with what's happening as a result of this sort of traumatic event that the world is going through. And when children see that, what happens is, friend, is they look at the world differently. So how we look at the world through the lens of this trauma, and we color it by the emotional experiences that we're having. And those emotional experiences are fearful. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning, and she was just saying to me, it's like this feeling that there's no tomorrow. But I think that we can't allow ourselves to fall into that space. You know, we've got to have that element of hope. And, you know, in reality, I honestly think that our way to confront this is to find that space within ourselves, to try and get that spiritual grounding. I think is going to be very important for us as a culture, as a society, and as individuals.
You're making a very interesting point there, that children look to parents for certainty and, for consolation and all of that. And if they're not seeing that, you think that later in life, of course, that might play a part in difficulties.
Of course it's going to play a part, because you could take a simple example of a separation that might happen in a family, or some type of domestic abuse or something like that that might happen. We see the increases. So we're seeing the very fabric of our lives, you know, that we're living life now in very closed circles. And if we see the closed circle of people that we're around, this bubble of people that we're around, and particularly our parents who are struggling, who are stressed, who are anxious, who might have lost a job, who are hugely uncertain about the future, then that absolutely ripples through the entire family. So children view that in a way that they see, well, their parents are struggling, I'm struggling, their view of the world is fearful, they lack trust and they lack hope and uncertainty. So, and then when you add on top of that, the way that you talk about that young girl earlier saying about, you know, no real leadership coming from the powers that be in respect of education, but the same applies for health. And I think that if we don't now start debating the implications of the COVID trauma that I'm calling it, if we don't now start engaging in debate with the relevant professional authorities and finding ways to educate people and to bring into families' homes ways of confronting this, that stress, that fear and that anxiety, we are heading down the road for serious problems.
How do you feel about the impact, Michael, of the daily figures and how it's presented each evening to us without a balance of hope and without a balance of optimism of some kind? Do you feel that that is playing a part in all of this?
Well, absolutely, because it's not helped. I mean, the continuous COVID, that continuous attention, now, albeit necessary, is absolutely causing huge issues because it's another layer on top of the stress and exciting and anxiety that people are having. Because, you know, what we're seeing is, and this is why we really need to understand it from a trauma, and I don't want to be negative in saying what I'm going to say, but I'm just trying to put myself in a position of, we'll say, nurses and doctors inside in an intensive care unit who are dealing with people who are fighting for their life every day, who can't breathe, some who are dying, some who, you know, there's that sense of failure because they can't help their patients because of what's happening in COVID. That's hugely traumatic. You know, there's that sense that, you know, of people, families today who are finding themselves in circumstances where, you know, loved ones are inside in nursing homes, they're inside in hospitals, they can't go to visit them. And then when you take on top of that this continuous bombardment of media attention on the numbers and all of that kind of thing, and while it's, and I get it, we need to counterbalance that. We need to start now, you know, engaging people in that area of hope, giving them the tools and the skills, teaching them how to breathe, how to communicate as a family, how to disconnect from the IT platforms, TV, how to get out amongst nature, how to sit down and communicate. But I genuinely, for me personally, I find that just getting out in nature, but having that touch, that connection to the divinity, that go inside yourself, that we can call it God, we can call it what we like, but ultimately we need to have some degree of spiritual grounding. Because I was talking to a priest the other day, he wanted to interview me about this for a program, and he was talking about, well, the vaccine is coming now and that will help, and of course it will. But the question I asked him was, well, what about the spiritual vaccine? What about the mental vaccine? What about the emotional vaccine? How are we going to inoculate ourselves to transform the stress and the anxiety and the trauma that's emerging from this situation? That's a different challenge completely. So the real shot in the arm that we need now from our leaders, from our governments, from our health services and others, is the shot in the arm we need is the education to see this for what it is, traumatic, to deal with this trauma in a very real way, and to realize that this is going to be with us for a long time and we should never forget about it, Fran.
Who I really feel for are the people who have lost loved ones throughout the last 12 months or so and haven't been able to grieve in a proper fashion. And again, that will have fallout.
Of course it's going to have falling out, because the normal ritual, you know, for death and bereavement is huge. If you take, for example, the likes of 9/11 as a traumatic event in the people's lives of New York, of America, the one way they were able to cope and deal with that was to get out and meet their friends, to have coffee, to sit down and chat, to hug, you know, to care for each other. That doesn't exist for the people who go through these situations. So we're grieving for the loss of our loved ones. We're grieving for the loss of the life that we had. You know, we're grieving for the job that we had. We are grieving for so much. There's a huge grieving process, and that people haven't been able to grieve in the normal cultural way that we were normally able to grieve from in the past. So these are all the challenges that face us. Because if I was to take it in the context of somebody comes to my clinic, for example, and they have a specific condition, it might be just an autoimmune condition, but it could be any particular problem. It could be depression or whatever. And I'm always looking to find the story. What is the story of your life? I asked them that. Tell me the story of your life. Because in that story, we find the secret to overcoming the problem. And if people were to begin to write the story or tell the story of their lives over the last year, and look at what you just talked about in the context of their inability to grieve properly, their inability to visit their loved ones, you know, their inability to get out amongst nature, to hug, to be social animals, so to speak. Like, that's huge grief. That's trauma. And that is something that we absolutely are going to be very much faced with down the road if we don't really take it on board now, Fran.
Will COVID define this generation, do you think, Michael?
I think it will. I think it will define it because of its collectiveness.
Yes,
it's a global thing, you see, Fran. You know, up until a year ago, we very rarely heard the word quarantine. When I heard the word quarantine, I thought it was, well, when I was bringing a dog back from another country, they would be quarantined or something like that. So quarantine was a sort of a negative word, social isolation and, you know, separation and apart and lockdown. These were words that never, because they weren't creative, positive words, they were negative words. So it is going to define us, just like the flu of the pandemic of 1918, defined the people of those times. But the real problem that happened, I believe, then was, and afterwards, is that we forgot. We've forgotten about those. It wasn't etched in the minds of people. And I'm hoping that we don't forget about these or forget about the so-called frontline workers out there who are really working hard in all across, whether it's in a shop or petrol station or hospitals, teachers or whatever. We mustn't forget those, and we mustn't forget the people who succumb to this virus. Whatever the theories or conspiracies that are out there, the deaths are real. And for whatever reason, we mustn't forget those. And we must put some sort of memorial into places so that we never forget that. Because I think if we never forget that, we'll always be, you know, ready and be prepared for something down the road. We need to leave something for the children who are coming, that if they find themselves 100 years down the road faced this way again, that they look back and say, well, the people in 2020 dealt with it differently. And I think that's going to be the bigger picture about COVID. As I said, the condition itself, in the sense of the virus, will outgrow through, you know, whether it's herd immunity, whether it's through the use of vaccines or a combination of both. But I think ultimately it's in the mindset and the emotions that people need to really shape themselves. And I think spirituality is going to have to come into it in a much bigger way if we are to evolve as really human beings out of this.
Could I finally ask you, do you have any issues with the COVID conversation over the past 12 months, in that anybody who asks questions or brings up alternative theories or whatever is seen as a tinfoil hat member? Do you have any issues over that, as to the conversation around COVID?
Yeah, I look at the thing about it is, there are huge conversations out there about the COVID, where it started, was it real, is it part of an overall plan, you know, the vaccines, and absolutely there are huge debates around this, and many people will feel to a certain degree there are imbalances in that. But you know what I have a tendency to do is a lot of the time now, given my experience over the last year, what I have a tendency to do now is look at reality. What's really happening? And what's really happening is people are in their homes today. They can't go beyond 5 kilometres. You know, frontline workers are under savage stress and pressure. There's huge burnout. Children have a lot of uncertainty. There are people dying from whatever reasons, and people are denied that ritual of grieving in a normal way. That's what's real. And I think for me now, and I would say to people out there, let's focus on that reality, put our energies into conserving our own energies, to maintaining our own health, to maintaining our own sanity, to maintain the sanity of our children, and so on, so that we can emerge out of this. Because they're the real things. You know, we can all have our own sort of mindsets and theories around where it's all coming from. But it's what's real, it's what we have to deal with, friend. Of course, many will say there's a huge imbalance in the media. I heard Michael McNamara talk about this recently in The Dáil and so on and so forth, and indeed others, other commentators. But we mustn't take away from the reality. We need to spend our time and effort and energy now providing the services and support for those who are really traumatized as a result of this COVID situation.
Michael, if people want to have a look at your work, you have your own website, of course. What is that again, Michael?
Yes, it's michaelodoherty.com, Fran.
All right. Good to talk to you, Michael, and thanks for coming on with us. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for
having me. A biohealer, Michael O'Doherty, there speaking to us, 1800 938 007.